Abschnitt von der Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 12th Chapter, Text 6 to 11. Translation. Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, "I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first." In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Then we read 7 to 11. Translation. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees, and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the birds' shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs, and when they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into the effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality, who merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship and who for ordinary persons is put another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? Taught by Srila Prabhupada. As recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasmat kenapi upayena mana krishne niveshayet. Somehow or other, whether one thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human child, as the source of the Brahman effulgence, as the origin of Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should concentrate one's full attention upon the lotus feet of Krishna. That is also the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prityacham Mam Ekam Saram Raja. Srimad Bhagavatam is the easiest way to directly approaching Krishna, Ishvara, Sadhyo Riti Avarudya Tetra Kritibi Shushubis Tatkshanat. Diverting even a little of one's attention toward Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Lokasya Chanato Vidvams Chakre Satvata Samhitam. The secret of success is unknown to people in general, and therefore Srila Vyasadeva, being compassionate toward the poor souls in this material world, especially in this age of Kali, has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yat Vaishnavanam Priyam. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced or who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have no chance. We have to change this body, the Tati Hantara Prabhupti. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. Therefore, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists and yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, as well as for people in general, janmalabha parampumsham ante narayana smriti. If we can somehow or other remember Krishna, Narayan, at the end of life, our life will be successful. So actually one of these verses is a very famous verse, the last one, 11. Prabhupada recited very much. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam katanam paradaivatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakam vicharu krita punja punja. Krita punja punja. That those cowherd boys who are friends of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they had to perform many, many lifetimes activities in devotional service that they actually could attain this position as a servant or as a friend of Krishna, like it is described in these verses. How these cowherd boys could play with Krishna, like Krishna was one of their friends. And so that's the Prabhupada remarks all the time through this verse, that by devotional service to Krishna, one becomes so much purified, and after many, many lifetimes, one gets a position, can get a position like a servant or a friend or a lover in the spiritual world. So now we are in the material world, and in this material world we are separated from Krishna, unfortunately, through said time immemorial, like it's described. Krishna bulis achiva nadi bahya mukha ateya maya tara daya samsara dukha. So in this way, because we are separated from Krishna and because we are in contact with the bahya mukha, with the material energy, we have to get or suffer repeated birth and death and different miseries in this life or in another life. So about this Krishna consciousness movement should bring us to the highest perfection of life, that one comes in contact again with Krishna. So therefore a pure devotee's mission is the same mission as Krishna's mission, to bring Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls here in the material world, and that they can come in contact again with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can take part in his service and in his pastimes. That's the perfection of life. Like Prabhupada once mentioned, the perfection of life is to take part in Krishna's family. And so actually this ISKCON movement, this Krishna conscious movement, is Krishna's family. Prabhupada said it's a Achyutya Gotra. Achyutya means infallible. Krishna is infallible, and Gotra means family line, dynasty. So we are this Krishna conscious movement is in the dynasty, family dynasty of Krishna, of the Guru Parampara. We have a very nice family members, all these great spiritual masters, acharyas, and we can serve this family, and by serving this family of Krishna, one is always in contact with Krishna. It's Krishna's family. And this family is eternal. All other families, they come and go in the material world. Everything in the material world comes and goes. It is influenced by the three modes of material nature and repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. But this Krishna conscious movement is eternal. It's an eternal movement because it's Krishna's movement. It's Krishna's family. And therefore, we are very fortunate that we actually can take part in this movement. We should appreciate it. We should endeavor very much in this movement to serve the mission of the pure devotee, the acharyas, become a humble servant. And so in this way, it is guaranteed, it's described here, Prabhupada's purport, it's guaranteed that when one distributes this Krishna conscious movement in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to the conditioned soul, then that's the supreme yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham. Like it's described here. Therefore, distribution of this transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for everybody, not only for, like many things, you know, for the less intelligent, for the less intelligent class of men, like Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam. They should take part in the Bhagavad Dharma, in spreading of Krishna consciousness and in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Especially the philosophers and so-called yogis, they think, oh, that's primitive. That's too simple. It's too simple to become just a bhakti yogi, a devotee, just to serve Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness and just the holy name of Krishna. There are many very puffed up scientists and philosophers, gyanis and so-called brahmanas even, and even some Vaishnavas who don't have full faith in the power of Srimatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. They don't have full faith in it. They still think, oh, Krishna, they don't believe that just by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, one can become delivered. There's an incident with Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, he is a Namacharya, and in an assembly of Brahmanas and some other people who were around it, he spoke about the holy name of Krishna, and he said by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can, by just a little, have faith in, by, how we say, by the chanting of the holy name, one actually goes back home, back to Godhead. So there was one Brahmana there. He became very much agitated, and he said, "No, that's not possible. That will be too easy. Just by a glimpse of the holy name, just like it's also described, one just chants one name of Krishna, once Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, without offenses, one actually can become free from all sins, more sins than one actually is able to perform." And so he became very much agitated, and he thought, that's not possible. And so then Haridas Thakur, he said, no, it's possible. And all others, they were also there, they also believed Haridas Thakur. And so this Brahman said, but when it is possible, then, or when it is, will not be possible, then I cut you up your nose. And so everybody was very agitated when they heard that. And so they practically cursed him and threw him practically out, you know, of the assembly. So, but Haridas Thakur was very cool. He was self-realized. He had full faith in the holy name of Krishna. So there was also in this assembly, they said that the result of chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is to become free of karma and to become liberated. The argument of Haridas Thakur is no. To become liberated and free from karma, from his sinful activities, is just a byproduct of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's just a byproduct. Then our movement is Vairagya Vidya Nitya Bhakti Yoga. By Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, automatically when one performs devotional service and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one naturally becomes free, detached from material sense gratification, vairagya, vidya, transcendental knowledge, and one gets the eagerness to serve Krishna, bhakti yoga. So therefore, this Krishna conscious movement is not just for simple or for naive people, foolish people, who doesn't know how to act in this material world, who doesn't know how to chant, enjoy the senses, who doesn't know to use their intelligence for mental speculation, for karma and jnana. Therefore, all these big philosophers, they think, yeah, Krishna consciousness is just naive. Is that right, English? Naive? Naive. No, something for foolish people who don't have great brain substance. They will chant all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Also, Prakashananda Sarasvati, he thought like that. Oh, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just a sentimentalist. He doesn't know about Vedanta, about philosophy, twisting around the Vedic syllables, you know, the mantras. And so in this way he practically minimized Lord Chaitanya and his movement by telling to others he's just a sentimentalist. But then when actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself in a humble way as a Vaishnava, and by us, when Sarasvati, Prakashananda Sarasvati saw this humble attitude of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became also humble and asked, so why he actually acts like that, sitting in a dirty place and in a humble way. He doesn't call himself Narayana. He only calls himself a servant of Krishna, and always, why you chant Hare Krishna mantra? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he answered, yeah, because my spiritual master told me that I'm a fool. I cannot do something else than chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because I'm a fool, number one. And so therefore I believed him. I didn't came on the false ego platform. So why he tells me I'm a fool? I'm an incarnation of God. I'm Krishna. How can he tell me a fool? Or another one maybe say, oh, I'm so great, I'm so intelligent. How can they tell me that? How can my spiritual master dare to tell me that I'm a fool, a rascal? And someone becomes very easy agitated and thinks maybe, oh, why he tells like that? But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted it. He accepted it as the word of his spiritual master, who is not different from Krishna, and he just chanted from this day on the Hare Krishna mantra, by having full faith in the chanting. And so therefore I chant, because my spiritual master told me, when I chant this Hare Krishna Maha mantra, then I will attain love of Godhead. I will attain Krishna consciousness. And I will sing and dance and laugh and roll on the ground in ecstasy. And so, and then his spiritual master further told him, and by chanting this holy name of Krishna, it doesn't matter how you chant, just chant. In this mood or in that mood, just chant the holy name of Krishna, and don't listen to others, to other opinions, what others tell you. And so therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always chanting. And by chanting the holy name of Krishna, he became ecstatic. And then he told to Prakashananda Sarasvati Thakur, Prakashananda Sarasvati, but don't ask me why. Because it's the nature of the holy name of Krishna that one becomes ecstatic. Don't ask me why it becomes like that. It's the nature. Then as soon as one comes in contact with Krishna, it becomes ecstatic. And so the holy name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. This is God. That the holy name of Krishna is Chintamani. It's eternal. It's not polluted by material nature. Pinanam namanamino. It's not separated. It's transcendental sound vibration. Golokera Premadana, Harinam Sankirtan. Comes directly from the spiritual world. And so therefore, when one comes in contact with the holy name of Krishna, and then one becomes ecstatic, one becomes purified, and because one becomes purified, one feels love of Godhead. The soul becomes purified, chetatapanamarchanam, and attains his original position, realizes the eternal position as servant of Krishna. So therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is not different from the holy name. Therefore when we hear about the holy name and chant and simultaneously read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have to become purified. And when one becomes purified, then one can also give it to others. Then one feels himself very much enlivened by reading, hearing and chanting about Krishna, that one wants to share it with others. Therefore we spread Krishna consciousness to even intellectuals, to even professors, theologians, philosophers, yogis. Some will take, some will not take. It doesn't matter. We are not attached who will take and who doesn't will take. We want to give everybody the opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna. But we have to be convinced that this Krishna consciousness is not just for useless hippies, people who don't know how to live. It's for everybody. It's described here. For even the professors, the PhDs, they can take part. They should take part in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Everybody has to take part in it. Then that will purify ourselves more and more, and it will purify others. So therefore this Krishna consciousness movement is a purification process. So by hearing and chanting about Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and serving the Bhagavad devotee, everything that is harmful for the soul or for our progress will be practically destroyed, and loving devotional service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead will become an irrevocable fact, as described in Bhagavatam. And so we have to serve the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad philosophy, actually all the books of Srila Prabhupada. And we have to serve also the devotee, the person Bhagavatam. We cannot only serve the book, we should also serve the devotee. Then the book and the devotee, they belong together. Cannot separate them. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this wonderful process of spreading Krishna consciousness in form of his books. Maybe one asks, why these books doesn't become sold in the libraries, in the bookshops so much? Why? Because Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they want to see the devotional service and the endeavor of the devotees. They want to see the devotee. Lord Chaitanya wants to see that the devotees distribute his knowledge. Like it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, they spread the Sankirtan movement only with their eternal associates. Not with yogis and jnanis and karmis. No, only with the bhaktas, with the Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas. They have a taste in the chanting, hearing about Krishna and spreading the holy name of Krishna to everyone. Share it with everyone. Only the pure devotees, they want to do these activities. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to give the association of devotee to the conditioned soul. The book, naturally, is the supreme devotee, is Krishna and the devotee. Krishna Svatama Bhagate Dharma Kyani Bhisaha Kala Nasati Samyasa Puranata Dinoditaha. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spiral of the sun. It's not different from Krishna. And it appeared just to give light in this darkened age of Kali Yuga. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not different from Krishna. It's also not different from Prabhupada. Because it's Prabhupada, these words are Prabhupada's ecstasy, he said. They are my ecstatic emotions. Therefore, this word, every word in the Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Therefore, Prabhupada said, even when the people touch the book, read one word, one line, one page, or somehow think, oh, these books are so wonderful. That will make spiritual progress. And so therefore, this Sankirtan movement, or Sankirtan, is made to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And who will distribute it? The devotees. Therefore, every devotee who goes out and distributes his books or preaches Krishna consciousness, he has actually to become a Bhagavad devotee. He has to become practically a representative of the Guru Parampara, like a messenger, like a postman. He brings the message to every door, to every house, to every city, town and city, all over. And so somebody will not take, or somebody will not appreciate, but it doesn't agitate the postman. And the postman, he knows, I have to perform my duty, I just deliver the message. Maybe you get a bill to pay, tax, or something else, very not so fortunate message, or you get a very good message, like a nice present from your friends for your birthday. Then naturally everybody will like the postman when he brings the nice message. But when he brings something, a bill, then maybe they say, oh, why he brings me this bill? But naturally they cannot say it, they have to accept it. They cannot blame the postman. And postman, they know it's his duty to just give out this message, bring the deliverance of these packets or these letters, whatever it is, they have to bring it. So therefore, they actually don't blame the devotee. So therefore, when somebody speaks harshly to a devotee, the devotee knows, oh, it goes to Krishna. They blame Krishna. They blame the great, you know. So therefore, a devotee, he doesn't become shackled by that or loses faith. And he knows, just go on. I have to give it out. I have to give out this message, this mercy, to save these people. And the medicine in the beginning is always bitter. It's very not so tasteful. They don't like it most of the time. But the doctor has to be very patient with the patients and to give them the medicine. And then when they actually become cured, then can get the taste of Krishna consciousness. And when one gets the taste, this higher taste, param trishava nivartate, then one gives up the lower taste. And so therefore we have to overflow the whole world with these transcendental books, that the people cannot nothing else than just surrender. And even an earthquake's going on, or this and that, this material world is full of miseries, we have to understand. There's always something happen. But we don't give up preaching. We don't give up distribution of books and chanting. We always go on. And in this way, we overflow the whole world with Prabhupada's books, with the holy name. And then even when earthquakes come, or this and that, catastrophe, then Prabhupada's books are here, the holy name is here. And everybody got the opportunity to serve this movement, serve Krishna. And so in this way, even when they don't come to read in this life or to understand this life Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's books, they still did some service. And so next life they will go on. So somebody who gets a book in this lifetime or gives a donation, that's the end of his material life. He is on the way back home, back to Godhead. In the next 10,000 years, he will go back home. And so this movement is here to make everybody happy by bringing them back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada. Is there time for question? One question. That's the question. Yeah, purely or not purely, just chant. Should not be attached to pure or not pure. So chant, hear the holy name. The mind always has some crazy things in it. We know that we are still associated with the senses. They are still here, the same senses, the same mind. So, but we cannot stop chanting. Although these things will come up like bubbles, we know they are just like bubbles. We should not hang in. As soon we hang in and give up chanting, then we become nonsense. But although we have material desire or no desire, akama sarva kama va, moksha kama daradi, divrina bhakti yogina yachita purusham param. You can be sarva kama, or without kama, akama, or desire for liberation, moksha kama. There's always something going on, because we are now in a mixed condition, Kali Yuga, there's sometimes desire, material desire, sometimes it's less material desire. Sometimes we get desire for liberation. And it's always changing, like the bubbles, you know, ups and downs. But we always can go on with the chanting. Then the chanting is not infected by these things. And so when we're actually a little sincere, Nyabu Kramu Nada Susti, Pratyavaina Vidyate, and we are little sincere on this path, it will protect us from the greatest fear, from the greatest danger, to go back to the lower species, fall back, down. So long somebody chants, it's always hope. Soon you stop, then you're lost. Therefore, even when you sinful activities, maybe, or the mind influence you very much, but you have always to chant. Cannot give it up. And so then, when you have the determination and the faith in the chanting, then you will become purified. But when you always make more sinful activities and just think, yeah, chanting is just to neutralize it again and again, then you are also nonsense. Should be a little sincere, should be here, this endeavoring. But sometimes, because we are conditioned still, maybe so many desires coming up, some attachments will come, but we should never stop. We should try to endeavor more in chanting. This intelligence we should always have, chant. Whatever it is, chant. 16 rounds every day. Inside the temple, outside the temple, wherever you are, you have to chant 16 rounds then it's always hope that you can come back to the original track again. And in the end, because when you have faith in the chanting, and it will bring you back home, back to Godhead, even in the end of life, even in this lifetime, why not? Prabhupada, he made it so easy. He gave us the guarantee when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow the regulative principles, go back home, back to Godhead. But a little endeavor has to be here. It's not full free. Cannot sleep the whole day and think, I'll go back home, back to Godhead. Sleep and take prasadam. Do nothing. We have to do something. Therefore, actually, when we are chanting, then we have also to perform some activities, because chanting means, please Krishna, engage me in your loving devotional service. Isn't it? So naturally, when you chant a little sincerely, then you also want to do something for Krishna and for Krishna's movement, Prabhupada, for this ISKCON. And we want to do something, then you don't space out. Chant and then go sleep and eat. Krishna consciousness is not made for eating and sleeping, these temples especially. They're made to train up our soldiers to fight against Maya, to drop thousands of millions of bombs in the form of Prabhupada's books in the lap of Maya. That is the temple life. Therefore we are here. We want to become trained up or train up. So when you're living outside and chant, it's also okay. Then when you chant sincerely, you will also come back to the training camp. Very soon we also distribute books again. That's a problem. When you only chant and don't get a little the urge, you know, to serve at least something, then you will also give up chanting. That's always seen all the time, again and again. And somebody may say, yeah, I just chant. I don't serve anymore. I don't have full faith in ISKCON, in temple president, in this and that. But I chant. But when you go out and chant and don't serve anymore, or at least come now and then to the temple and also sit with devotees and serve, then guaranteed you will also give up chanting after some times. In the beginning, always it begins very innocently. Like Prabhupada said, we have to give Maya only the little finger, then she will take the whole hand. Or also described that we should not let Maya in the first instance in our consciousness. Otherwise, when we only let in one beam, how we say, rays, little spark of Maya, then it will overtake the whole consciousness and will pollute you. So it's easy for the easy or simple-minded, it's complicated for the complicated-minded, is Krishna consciousness. So we have to become a little simple in following just Prabhupada's instruction. And then somehow it will go on. What's the big harm to chant and serve something, serve Krishna? It's ecstatic. But when we are lazy and rascals, then we always will have excuse. Why I should not chant? Why I should not serve? Why I should not associate with devotees? Find all kinds of excuses, millions of excuses. So that we use intelligence instead of spreading Krishna consciousness. We use intelligence for why I should not surrender. Then somehow we have to use intelligence. So when you don't use it for spreading Krishna consciousness, then you use it against spreading of Krishna consciousness. Somehow we have to engage in intelligence. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogantam. Krishna gives intelligence. When you use it for him, when you use it for material things, Krishna will give you the intelligence to forget him. That you become dragged out of the association of devotees and forget Krishna. Apovanam cha He could give forgetfulness. He can also give remembering, smriti. Yes. It's later. Hare Krishna, glorious Prabhupada.